Good morning all, how are we? For those who don't know me, I am Ben, that's my name. Some of you might know me better as Rob and Kel's son. but come from the Hamilton and I'm here to give you the words of exhortation. Wisdom's a very strong word, as I said before. So we've all come here today. We all come to this building, I assume, pretty much every Sunday, most Sundays. Why do we come here? We genuinely come to say prayers, you know, read the Bible, hear exhortation, sing hymns is a big one. You know, we always sing songs to God. A lot of people would say we come here to worship God, to worship Him and remember Him. But is there a wrong way to worship? I want to bring your attention to Isaiah 1. We read it just before. It's talking about the Israelites, how they're a rebellious nation, not following their God. I want to read verses 11 to 15. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and the lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts, your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. They were giving their sacrifices. They were saying their prayers. They were going to the temple. In modern terms, they were coming to the meeting every Sunday. They were going to Bible class on Wednesdays, doing their Bible readings, saying their prayers. But God says He doesn't care for it, any of it, and turns His face away. The reason, verse 4, woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned His Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on Him. Though they looked like holy people, they were giving their offerings, they were saying their prayers, their hearts were given to sin. God didn't just want their adoration. He didn't just want them looking like they were doing the right thing. He wanted their repentance. He wanted them to change their life and the way that they were living. Worship has to be more than just an outwardly appearance and the deeds that we do. So, if it's not just coming to the meeting and not just saying our prayers and singing hymns, what is it? What is worshipping God and what does it mean for us? If we take a look at a few places where the term worship is used, if we take a look at a few places, let's go to Matthew 4, verses 8 to 10. Says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said. Said, if you bow down and worship me, Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here, Jesus is on a high mountain. looking out at these big cities and all their glory and their riches, and he knew he could have it all right now if only he had bowed down and worshipped his human desires. But he rebuked those thoughts, saying, "Only God shall you serve." The term worship here is linked with falling down in submission and with serving. And then if we take a look at Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar was commanding the people to worship his golden statue, verses 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, and 15, worship is connected to falling down in submission. One of them says, "You must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up." And then in verses 12, 14, 18, and 28, worship is linked with service. It says, "We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." In these verses, the term worship is linked with two things. It's linked with falling down in surrender and having a willingness to serve. Both of these actions are a choice. It is a choice that Jesus made, and a choice that Daniel made, to not bow down and surrender to their carnal mind and to serve their own desires, but instead to follow God's will. In a war, when someone surrenders, they are giving the right to the other party, who they surrender to do whatever they want with their belongings. For us, that is our heart, our desires, our things, our money. That is our lives. When we choose to get baptized, we choose to surrender to God. We choose to surrender our life, our hearts, our possessions to God. And if we don't bow down to God, then we're left with only one option. And that's to surrender to our own minds, to our own nature, to our own hearts, and to follow our own desires. Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." When we surrender to God, we say that he knows what is right and that we don't, that our minds don't know what is right. When we surrender, we say that we will serve him because he is right and not us, and that we will follow his will and we will align what we do with the will of God. As Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Which means we must not follow our own hearts. We must follow God and his will and position ourselves to hear God and discern what he wants us to do. So looking back at the Israelites, they were doing the acts of worshipping God. They were praying. They were offering their sacrifices. But they weren't surrendering to God. They weren't serving him. They were still serving their carnal minds and what their hearts and minds wanted to do. Worship, it can be empty. We can appear like we are doing everything right. Going to the meeting, singing hymns, going to Bible class and giving prayers, reading our Bibles, but if it's not changing us on the inside, not changing who we are and how we act, it can be all in vain. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that reading the Bible, coming to the meeting, I'm not saying it's not important. All these things are extremely important to help lead us to worship our God. But They are not necessarily worship in themselves. Reading the Bible and going to Bible class teaches us God's will and how to serve Him, so that we can serve Him. If we don't, we won't know how. Coming to the meetings, singing songs, ensures that we will always remember Him in our lives. But we can worship God in any avenues of our lives, provided we are doing things in accordance with His will. In our jobs or school, we can work hard, we can do our best, we can follow God's will. When we're hanging out with friends, we can be there to support each other. If we live our lives in accordance to God's will, this is worship. Songs and hymns and readings and study helps us lead us on God's path and to help us and helps us worship, but it is not worship in itself, and it can be done in vain. I love the hymn that was chosen for the exhortational hymn. To me, it is perfect for this exhortation, and I thank you very much for choosing it. I love this hymn. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. This is worship. It is not necessarily just the song. It is the acts of this song. The I will weep when you are weeping. I will laugh when you are laughing. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. Sorry, I messed that line up. But this is worship, and I thank you very much for choosing that song. Not only is it a beautiful song, it's exactly what this exhort is about. Now going back to Isaiah, reading chapter 1, verses 16 to 19, it talks about the things that God actually wanted from the Israelites and what they weren't doing. Wash, make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong and learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. It says they should learn to do right. How do we do that? It's by reading God's word and studying through classes. And then do it. Help those who are in need. How could we ever help those who are in need if we're not talking to them? If we're not hanging out with them and getting to know each other on a personal level as friends, more than just on an outward appearance at the meeting. It says that God will help us. He will make our sins white as snow. He will be there to help us, but we need to try. We need to be there, to do our best, to try and do God's will. Now we know from Matthew 4 verses 10 that God is the only God we should worship. Because Jesus said, worship the Lord and serve Him only. And then in Revelations 22:8-9, it says, I, John, and the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and seen them, I fell down and worshipped the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of the scroll. Worship God. He Here, John is taken back by the presence of an angel. He falls and worships it. But the angel says, "Don't," and rebukes him, says worship belongs only to God. So as followers of Christ, we should only be obedient to our God and our Father, especially if we've been baptized. But when we go to work, do we not serve our employers? Do we not follow what they say and do what they ask of us? How does this work? Is it going against God if we do our best and we follow what our employers say? Is that serving them and not God? Of course not. God asks us to. Ephesians 6, verses 5 and 8. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. When we go to work, we serve our employer. Yes, we are serving them, but it says here that we should be acting as though we are serving God. So we should serve them to the best of our ability. And when we show the willingness to serve and to serve the best of our ability, this is worshipping our God. We must always remember though that God is our one and true master. And if we are ever asked to do anything that goes against him, we must make sure that we follow him, just as Daniel did with Nebuchadnezzar. He followed his commands the best he could, right up until it went against God's principles. We're the same. Following our employer and serving them to the best of our ability, helping each other, this is worshipping God. So as we take this bread and wine in front of us, two things I want us to ponder. A, this is just a way of remembrance so that we can remember Christ, what he did for us, what God did for us, so that we can take the time to reflect and consider our lives and God's will for us on this earth. And B, true worship is more than just outward acts. It is the way that we live our lives, everything we do. If it is in line with the will of our Heavenly Father, it can be done in worship to God, and it is worship to God. Thank you.